Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Larrick. With me, David Smith, the Executive Director of Illinois Family Institute, Illinois Family Action. How you doing, Dave?
I'm okay. Monty, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Our guest is Babette Holder. Ms. Holder is the president of the Frederick Douglass Foundation, Illinois. She's the co-founder of the Last Civil Right Organization, a group of Christian conservative women who are political commentators. Ms. Holder is also the founder and CEO of Social Media Scene. In addition, she is active with the group called Black People Against Abortion.
She is
down,
a
Babette?
Super pro-life activist who we're glad is in the state of Illinois, fighting the good fight.
Yeah,
thank you. And I'm also one of the spokesperson with the National Black Pro-Life Coalition. So
fantastic.
A lot of pastors and a lot of activists that come from across the nation. And it encompasses a lot of the people with the other organizations.
And you've been on the Stephanie Trussell show a number of times, right? Stephanie
yes.
Trussell is a good friend of yours and mine. And she's on WLS every Sunday night. So we love listening to her.
Absolutely. And I thank her for allowing us to get our voices out.
Absolutely.
There.
50,000 watts.
AM 890, right?
AM 890, yeah.
WLS.
Hear it all over the Midwest.
Well, Babette, if we go by today's PC standards, there are several strikes against you. You are a Christian. You are a politically conservative woman.
And she's politically incorrect.
And you are a pro-life.
Pro-life, uh-oh.
And I'm sure the PC police are wondering, what happened to Babette Holder, the cousin of former U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder?
Uh-oh.
Oh, they not only are the PC police wondering that, but I would say 99% of my family, and I believe about 90% live in the Chicago area.
No kidding.
Yeah, so the sad thing is I don't think they realize that they are the reason I am the way I am.
They are the reason. Explain that.
Well, my family, growing up, and when we say family, this is including all your uncles, mm-hmm. your aunts, and the grandparents that were still living and surviving, and my great-grandparents who are, we would say, more British Jamaicans, more British than Jamaican,
okay.
from Jamaica and Barbados. But all of them lived a conservative type of lifestyle.
Christians.
And Christianity played a big role.
Sure.
We were all very close. Family was highly valued. So
sure.
Family before others. Our first friends were my cousins, actually.
Mm.
My mom had, and I should mention, my mom had 13 brothers and sisters.
Wow.
Came from a big family.
And she always said, I was the smartest one to stop at two children.
Uh-oh.
I think I was more than enough.
Well, you broke the mold, literally.
Exactly. So through that family and the great love and all these cousins, there are 52 cousins that are around my generation alone.
Mm.
There's even more now since they've had their children and some of their children have had theirs. Imagine the great number of cousins I have and everyone's having. So it was a natural fit to me when I learned what conservatism was in high school.
Hmm. What high school did you go to?
I graduated from Naperville North High School back
okay.
in the days when Naperville did not go further south than 75th Street.
Sure, sure. More farm fields out there than there were streets, right?
Exactly.
Well, I'm a little curious. Did you ever get a call or a message from Eric Holder suggesting that maybe you tone down your pro-life or conservative rhetoric? Or change your last name.
Never, yeah, right? I petitioned for him to change his. Or at least to add the Dutch surname part that they removed.
What was
when
that?
The whole Vich. So
okay.
It was Holdervich when we came here.
Interesting.
But no, I don't communicate with Eric Holder. I have had his wife, the Malones, One of her brothers went on a radio station. I was supposed to be on the air. Eric was supposed to be on first, then myself. He would not do this radio interview with
a crazy right-wing
black
cousin.
Radio station, too, in Chicago. Yes, with this crazy right-wing. So I did have the in-laws try and deny that I was an actual holder.
So what happened to the rest of the family? If you kind of embraced that Christian conservatism and kept it, right?
Right.
What happened to the rest of the family?
I don't know. I just found out recently that my grandfather, my maternal grandfather, who is now deceased, who was also a veteran from the Navy, he voted Republican up till he died in the mid-2000s. So that stunned me because he didn't have to continue voting Republican. And then I found out my great-grandparents were Republicans when they came here. But
in the tradition of Frederick Douglass,
in
right?
In the tradition of Fred, and in the tradition of the party that allowed them to vote in that case.
Amen.
Yes.
Well, you backed Donald Trump in the presidential election, and you're a woman, you're African-American, and oh, why would you do that?
Well, she's Jamaican-American.
Jamaican-American, I guess, yeah.
Right. Well, I always refer to myself as an American black.
There you go.
We actually, honestly, growing up, recently I was asked that question by a young student who asked me to be his interview for his cultural anthropology class and what customs or traditions. And I said, well, we were really American. They really embraced the American dream. They truly believed in it. But to be a black American, I know African American is what others will refer.
Right.
So either
right.
way, black was connotated more during my generation.
Sure.
But to vote for Donald Trump, the way I looked at it is he will support those values that are very endeared to me and that are also, as I was taught through the Christian church, that really is important. Even in man's government, we still have to have, I believe, a moral society.
Yep. Were you impressed with the inauguration in the first few days of his administration?
I am still feel like someone's got to pinch me all the time. Watching the inauguration, my group, Frederick Douglass Foundation, it's really the basis of Frederick Douglass Foundation. It's nationwide. It is one of the largest multi-ethnic, we say, Christian Republican organizations. And Christian is a key word in there.
Are there many in Illinois?
And as far as Frederick Douglass members
yes.
themselves, we actually have a core number that are the board members, which is about six of us.
Good.
But we have a request, which I, you know, we're slowly incorporating, of over 50 people. And that's amazing to me. And because many of them are black and Hispanic.
Nice. Well, we need to work on that. But continue your thoughts about your impressions of
right.
Donald's inauguration and then...
Well, we were watching this inauguration. And I remember as I was watching it, I was thinking, it's fun. It's really what you call truly hopeful. It was elegant in the way that Donald and his, First Lady Melania could bring.
It was kind of in your face, too.
It was very, well, that was very obvious.
My wife kept saying, boy, I wish they cut away to see what President Obama's reaction is. She kept saying, oh, I want to see what he's doing now.
I had a split screen, and we were actually, can you remove the split screen? But we felt like when he gave that speech and people were talking about how brief it was and how short, and then at the same time, I found that it was refreshing to hear we and us
yep.
and thanking.
Not so many eyes.
Right. Thanking the actual American people. And he once again included
Donald
unity.
Have you received a lot of backlash because of your support of Donald Trump?
I've received the backlash so every year that we have a presidential race. And yes, because of Donald Trump.
Because you're outspoken. You're out in the public square trying to advance the truth when it comes to the issues, right?
That's correct.
Yep. So this is nothing new, really?
It's nothing new, but remember, because he is so bold and, you know, just un-PC himself, you know, you do get a little bit more. They try to use the fact that I'm a woman
yeah.
and because of some alleged recorded statements he made, which I think he did confess that was something he made at the time, joking around with someone else. Locker room talk.
Right.
Well, what a lot of people, I look at it as we're all imperfect human beings. I used to cheer professionally. I heard worse from NBA and NFL players that were friends of mine. So.
Sure. Wow.
Wow. You used to cheer professionally. Tell me about this. I got to know.
Well, you know, cheerleading, my mother said, you're going to either find a way to get rich off of it or, you know, you're going to knuckle down and get serious at some point. But she said, have fun with it. You know, so I was a cheerleader from high school. And then I went to cheer junior college and then semi-pro. And then
no kidding.
I made a cut somehow. The rookie year that Michael Jordan was a Bull, I was on the Love a Bull.
No kidding.
Really?
Right. Wow, that is so cool.
I didn't get to do a lot of games. I fell back more to be an alternative because at the time, you know, one of the requirements were that we worked also. You know, you don't get rich off of that. So I was also working for Stedman Graham at that time.
No kidding.
Wow. Well, our guest is Babette Holder with the Frederick Douglass Foundation, Illinois. She's the president of that organization. We have many other things to talk about, but we need to take a break.
Defending Christianity, religious liberty, legislating morality. Join renowned speaker and award-winning author Dr. Frank Turek for his biblical insights on today's issues at the Illinois Family Institute Worldview Conference, Saturday, February 18th at the Village Church of Barrington.
If you want to be in government, only atheists can be in government. Does it say that anywhere? No.
The Illinois Family Institute Worldview Conference.
Pastors were not called to be tax exempt. We were called to be salt and light.
Tickets for the IFI Worldview Conference are $20 per person and just $50 per family. Student scholarships are available. Seating is limited, so please register at illinoisfamily.org or call the IFI office 708-781-9328. illinoisfamily.org or call 708-781-9328.
Hi, this is Kurt Jarrus, the host of Veracity Hill. Veracity Hill is a radio podcast dedicated to striving for truth on faith, politics, and society. I don't have all the answers, but join me as I explore important topics with guests from respective fields. To learn more, text the word VERACITY to 555-888. That's VERACITY to the number 555-888, or check out our website at veracityhill.com.
This is Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Lark, joined by David Smith, the Executive Director of the Illinois Family Institute and Illinois Family Action. And our guest today is Ms. Babette Holder, the President of the Frederick Douglass Foundation, Illinois. And she is a rock-hard conservative, and you supported Donald Trump in the election.
Hardcore pro-lifer.
Hardcore pro-lifer.
Absolutely.
And Donald Trump has taken some initiatives to promote the pro-life cause, the Mexico City Accord or something along that line.
I was
line,
so
Dave.
Tickled to see that happen.
Right.
Yes.
You have to be pleased.
Oh, thrilled. Absolutely thrilled. I've been smiling more in the last several days than I think I have in years.
Well, reinstating the Mexico City policy, for those who don't know, basically bans our tax dollars from going internationally to provide abortion services. And that is just, well, fiscally responsible, but it's also morally responsible. So we're loving that here at IFI.
I'm loving it myself. We love it at Frederick Douglass Foundation ourselves because there's, you know, it's just, we also have an impact globally in this world.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Are there some things that you'd like to see Donald Trump do to repair inner cities? He's made the promise that he wants to bring some of these communities throughout America, particularly Chicago, out of the vast wasteland. What do you think?
He's very astute as to what's going on. He's very aware, and then he shows... the interest of knowing the numbers, the facts, and what's going on, because that fits with his profile, being a businessman, swift, decisive, and well-informed. I would love to see him work with these congressmen whose districts encompass some of the most poverty-stricken neighborhoods and communities, as well as the ones that are literally oases for food, health, and jobs.
Sure.
And work with them, because I believe, especially I'm going to speak for Chicago and, you know, Cook County, there's a lot more oversight that needs to be done over there, because as we know at the state, they ask for more and more money.
Yep.
Where is this funding going?
That's right. Absolutely. And what is it producing? I mean, we look at our public schools, or what I like to say government schools, and what are they doing? I mean, the graduation rate is no better than 50% in the city of Chicago. What are we investing our tax resources in?
Right, and they close schools down, or recently they closed the libraries in the schools that a lot of these children can't even get the resources.
And then a bunch of parents organized saying, we'll voluntarily staff it. And then the teachers union said, no, you can't do that because you're taking away a union job if you do that.
Exactly. Exactly.
So they'd rather have a closed library. So what does that tell you? Is it about the kids or is it about the positions?
The positions.
Donald Trump supports school choice. What impact would that have in inner city Chicago?
I know for a fact that a lot of minority parents really support school choice because they know that there are better options. And if that was available to them, you will see. But the unions don't like that because they're well aware that those schools that are not performing or dangerous or under-resourced are going to be the first ones that are going to have a great flight.
That's right. And for those who don't know, and of course, we're going to do a show on this probably in the future, but school choice allows parents to take those taxpayer resources and put them wherever they want. And in other words, the dollars follow the kids,
the child,
instead of going to the school districts.
And it's a pro-life issue. I mean, we're all about life through all, from birth to natural death and
good
every
point,
stage
Nabette.
Of that life. So these are things that I look at because that falls into a quality of life and the pursuit
great
of happiness
point.
For everyone.
You know, he put out a tweet, President Trump put out a tweet that said, you know, if Chicago doesn't shape up with this whole
violence
issue, he's sending in the feds. Good idea?
At this point, it's almost like what else will work?
Right.
First of all, we have the ACLU handcuffing our law enforcement officers. Look at the number of lawsuits that they pay out.
Unbelievable.
And the taxpayers' money. Secondly, we don't have the number of law enforcement officers, nor the ones that they have working those streets in those communities who were there for years and that people felt comfortable with because Rahm Emanuel pulled them when he first became mayor to prepare for the Chicago teacher union strike. That was a budget, you know, to get that funding and money. So now we have looked since then, look at the escalation in crime. Look at Bridgeport area that's really exploding, and a young mother was murdered just recently over there.
Former Mayor Daley's old neighborhood?
Neighborhood.
Wow.
You'd think, though, that it's more than the problem with violence in Chicago, and I think I know your answer, but it's not just jobs and bad schools. There's a spiritual problem out there, and also too many fatherless homes, that sort of thing.
Absolutely. I call it today, unfortunately, the culture of death, the total disregard and lack of respect for life. And In certain circumstances, when you are struggling, your everyday existence is a struggle, you just become that cold block. Your heart isn't open. You don't want to hear about God, the Bible, and loving your fellow man, because in your mind, God has left you. And these churches are not preaching to that. I always say they're preaching to the tithe. They're not preaching to their congregation out there, because if you offend the congregation, you're not going to have tithes the next week.
Sure. Now, Here's one of the things that concerns me greatly. The city of Chicago, well, the whole state of Illinois has adopted a new position on sex education. So they're teaching our young people in our schools as early as sixth grade statewide the how-tos, okay? And then we wonder why we have single motherhood, why we have abortion rates and STDs and all these things. Anyway, the city of Chicago, they're starting this sex education at kindergarten. Kindergarten. This is a major problem, and let me just tell a quick story here. Our friend Scott Phelps with Abstinence and Marriage Partnership, he goes into schools and across the United States, but in Illinois, in Chicago, and talks and tries to teach youngsters about the value of waiting until you're married for sex. And he said he was at a school, and I can't remember which one, in the inner city of Chicago, and a young black woman came up to him, young, you know, 14-year-old lady, and said, "I never heard this before. I'm going to give that a shot. Thank you." She never heard it before. Isn't that sad? But they're being taught for with our tax dollars the how-tos, but not the value of waiting. It's criminal.
It would seem like these churches in these inner city communities that say they're preaching the gospel would also be addressing this.
They have to.
Very few will speak on the sexual relationship and abstaining and leaving your body pure and saving yourself for marriage and God. And that doesn't surprise me that she hasn't heard about abstaining, because they had started to remove that from schools years ago.
Sure. Yep. So, and that's why we have the rates we have today. Absolutely. But the church could be a voice, and I know you share this view, in the culture, holding our politicians accountable and saying, don't do this. Don't pass laws requiring it. And that's what happened a few years ago, was a bill to require, mandate, if you teach sex ed, you have to teach the how-tos. That is ridiculous.
It is. It is. It is inappropriate when you think about it, because, and it starts so young, you're sexualizing children, and then people are wondering, why are these kids doing this today? Well, to them, it's the norm.
That's
right. Because we send them to school, and this is what they're hearing. And then they start
talking
loosely. And then
it's reinforced by the pop culture, right?
Exactly.
Yep. And their peers.
Exactly.
Well, we're running out of time here, so like to know a little bit more about your activities with Frederick Douglass Illinois Foundation in Illinois and some other groups you're involved with.
Well, real quickly, Frederick Douglass Foundation Illinois is really just starting to kick off. We have been so busy. All of us are active that are the core members. We have run elections from pro-life senator challenger to a pro-life, several pro-life congressional candidates.
Fantastic.
That we worked with, and especially my friend Patrick Harlan Downs. I have to give
him
a shout out.
Yeah,
very,
please.
You know,
you
see
can drop
him at
names
all.
On this. This is
okay.
Illinois Family Action.
Well, Patrick, you know, he is at every pro-life event that we keep passing each other, but we stay. But this year, we're really focusing on being under, you know, the Trump in D.C., but in Illinois, bringing those issues closer to home as they come from the federal level.
Are you getting involved at all with school board races or anything like that?
I help out wherever I can as myself. So with school board races and our local city council races.
Good.
And so forth, I'm already working with three people in three different cities. Whatever I can lend a voice, I specialize in communications and social media, David Priestes. I work that, and just so we can get their messages and words out there.
So how do people contact you, Babette?
They can find me. The quickest way that they can find me is at the website for the National Black Pro-Life Coalition.org. It is a long title. Yeah, it is. The National Black Pro-Life Coalition.org, and go to the speaker section, and you will see me listed there, and it has emails. It even put one of my phone numbers directly through if they want to reach out.
Fantastic. The National Black
Pro-Life Coalition.
.org.
And we can follow you on Facebook.
And you can follow me on Facebook as Babette Holder.
And Twitter?
At Behold226.
226. Behold226. I love it.
Thank you so much, Babette Holder. Dave, a word of encouragement.
All right. The verse of the day comes from Isaiah 5:20, which says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter."
All right. Thanks for joining us here on Illinois Family Spotlight. Until next time.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.